Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Your man is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a
Thank you for calling in to Kingdom Builders International. My name is Audrey Milton with Kingdom Builders. Our host this evening is Minister Desmond Small from Savannah, Georgia. After the music, the next voice you will hear will be Mr. Desmond Small.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Your man is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won.
Is yet to come.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the
best is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio audience. My name is Minister Desmond Small, an associate pastor at the Thankful Missionary Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia, where my pastor is the Reverend Paul Anthony Shepherd, and Jesus Christ is still Lord and King. I give honor to Almighty God for his many blessings and to Evangelist Dana Howe, Dr. Teresa, and my lovely hostess, Sister Audrey Milton, for the kind introduction. I count it an honor and a privilege to come before you this evening. Tonight's sermonic text is found in Luke 1, 5 to 14, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. While some of us are looking through our Bibles for the text, let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. The text is as follows. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of God blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Lord, let there be less of me and more of you. Let your Holy Spirit speak, dear Lord, that your people will be edified, and you, O Lord, will be glorified. In Jesus' name, we pray. For a few minutes, let me borrow your imagination and journey with me to your favorite auditorium or entertainment hall. For the past few months, much preparation has been made to accommodate the first concert that has come to your neck of the woods for quite some time. In this particular scenario, you have fought your way through the massive crowd to gain entry into the venue. Many of you have paid several times the original price to some unscrupulous scalper for your entry ticket, and in spite of the monetary costs and the risks almost to life and limb, at this very moment, in spite of the heat and the stench of a standing room only attendance, you are overjoyed because you are being treated to the soulful, sultry sounds of newly acclaimed songstress Candice Glover, the last but the best of the opening performances. Now, organizers of this rare concert have spared no effort in its promotion and preparation. They have enlisted the public safety sector to provide some order, and for some weeks now they have deployed digital billboards, posters, leaflets, radio and TV ads, and the careful clinical planning and selection of preliminary acts, even right down having Miss Candice Glover immediately precede the main card. And you, the audience, you are obviously pleased as punch with this first-time performance of our newly arrived beloved diva. Yet, you are imploding with anticipation, for like the others before her, she is only setting the stage, and any minute now there will be a thunderous roar when the legendary Aretha Franklin comes to the forefront. For the best is yet to come. Now, in our lesson for today, I wish to remind each of you about God's infinite goodness and to inform you that for some of us who have labored in the service of the Lord, seemingly without reward, as preachers, teachers, evangelists, deacons, greeters, ushers, Sunday school teachers, culinary workers, and all those serving in any other capacity, those who may think that our prayers and supplications have gone unanswered, Even in the case of those who believe that God has completely forgotten all about you, then come the time when he will bedazzle you with his grace and his mercy and completely blow your mind with his next blessings that he has in store for you. I call this sermon "The Best is Yet to Come." Now, to truly appreciate this message, it is important to understand the life and times of God's people, his chosen people, the Hebrew nation, and some of their religious systems, especially between 400 B.C. until the birth of Christ. They, the Hebrews, were a special people, a people called out and set aside for worship unto the Lord, a highly religious and a peculiar people who lived by a set of rules, regulations, policies, procedures that we now call the Old Testament, comprising of the Mosaic Law, prophets, and the religious poems, and passed down through the years by their foreparents, depicting the way that they would live their lives, worship their God, treat their neighbors, and conduct business on a daily basis. They had been provided with great indoctrination into the way of life and holy living by their forefather Moses, as we can discover in Deuteronomy. I am especially impressed by chapter 5, that's Deuteronomy chapter 5, 32, the second part of verse 32, as Moses warned them not to turn aside to the right or to the left, but to walk in all the ways the Lord had commanded them. And then in chapter 6, 7-9, where he advises to these laws diligently to their children, talk about them on every occasion, write them down in their hearts, and even on the entrances of their homes and the gates of the city. However, as is normal in any society, you know, people are different. And especially as rebellious as mankind is, we find that certain folk among them, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, and the like, were zealous in their beliefs and in their own interpretation of the Mosaic Law, following the strict written word, even if only the letter and not the spirit of the law. Some others were not so ardent, kind of middle of the road. Others did it with callousness and impunity, and yet still there were some who strayed far from the beaten path to form their own interpretation of right and wrong. Somewhat like us, isn't it? We know the state of the Hebrew nation had been at this period of time tattered and torn as they were subjected to the harsh rule of King Herod of Judea. They were in a spiritual slump, somewhat confused, almost in total disarray. Their morale is at an all-time low, but yet, in general, as a people, they look excitedly forward for the Messiah that the prophets have been speaking about for some time now. Now, of the very faithful was a man called Zechariah. He was a priest in the Abijah division. The eighth such division of 24 groups of priests consisting of about 70 men each. Now, this is the way that King David had organized the priesthood to ensure that most priests had an opportunity to actively serve. Now, Jewish priests were of the house of Levi, one of Jacob's sons by Leah. And not only so, but they are the direct descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother, as decreed by God's command to Moses in Exodus 28, verse 1. When a division was on duty, there was 2 one-week sessions per year. They lived away from home in priestly quarters on the outskirts of general housing. This custom continued even on to Zacharias' day. Now, as a priest, the young and viral Zacharias no doubt could have his selection of eligible women. Priests were not restricted in marriage to one house or any house or tribe. But he married Elizabeth, also a descendant of Aaron. And that had helped to establish this couple as having a twofold honor. In today's world, he would be thought of as having married very well. The text says that they were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and statutes blamelessly. But they had no children. And now at this point in their lives, they were both allowing years. In other words, they were old. There was no claim that they were sinless by any means, but that they lived according to the highest standards of rectitude of uprightness, of fairness, and of good judgment. They were a kosher couple who seriously observed what it meant to obey God in every which way they knew. My friends, they were a priestly and a model couple, but sadly, they had no children. Elizabeth's condition seemingly had turned this double honor into shame, and the both of them are at a point where the Irish couple would have probably sadly be reconciled to having no children of their own, for they were at about the age of 70 to 80 and above. What in today's world would easily be classified as being over the hill, at least for childbearing purposes. It must have been utterly devastating, especially for Elizabeth, because in those days it was the woman, not the man, that was blamed for infertility. But now the text never says that they ever complained. But considering the times in the era when having children was thought to be equivalent to meriting God's favor, to possessing honor and even having riches, one could well imagine that they each must have resented the fact that God had held back from them this wonderful blessing, that of having children, even though there were true worshipers and a living example of holiness unto the Lord. But as they continue to live honorable lives, I believe that secretly, despite their advanced age and the seeming futility of it all, Zachariah and Elizabeth continue to beseech God for children. For having considered their patriarch Abraham, they must have known that all things are possible with God. I also believe that they must have had the good sense to do what we Christians need to do more often today, and that is when God's answer does not instantly arrive, to acquiesce. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Praise God's name tonight. Zachariah's Abijah division is serving for this week by way of rotation, and Zachariah is chosen by lot to serve as officiating priest. My research tells me that there's no greater honor among priests, because none were allowed to serve as officiating priest more than once in a lifetime. And that even as such, because of the vast numbers of them, some would never get a chance to serve in this manner. As officiating priest, Zachariah would be on that particular day responsible for placing incense on the heated altar, then to prostrate himself in prayer and in intercession for the Hebrew nation. I'm further told that during this ritual burning of incense, which represented the offerings and the prayers of the people ascending to heaven, the masses were on the outside in the courtyard reciting in this prayer, "May the merciful God enter the holy place and accept with favor the offering of his people." Luke 1:11-13 says that at this time an angel of the Lord appeared before Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." What an amazing promise is being made to this childless elderly priest by a stranger about a son that is yet to be born, of a wife that is by all means infertile. Now tell me, would any of us be able to faithfully accommodate this kind of news, or would we, like Zachariah, express out? You know, he has asked for this. He has prayed and beseeched God for this. But now that it has happened, he is asking the angel of Gabriel, "How can I be sure of this? For I am 80 years old and my wife is old out." My friends, you had better be careful what you ask God for. For when you least expect it, in God's own time and his place, for his purpose, and to your surprise, he may just deliver. This elderly couple had no idea, but for them, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And now the angel Gabriel had twice before in older times been the bearer of very important news, as you may know about in the book of Daniel 8:16 and 9:21. So now, as an experienced messenger of God, he takes exception to this mere mortal questioning the promise of Yahweh. And I can just imagine how he stood there several feet tall, brightly adorned in a flowing robe of white and speaking us with authority, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and tell you of the good news. But now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that this happens, because you have not believed my words, which will come to pass at the proper time. You'll find that in verse 18 to 20. Now this was indeed stern chastisement for one who is no stranger to delivering this kind of news and is accustomed to being believed at his word. So now it stands Zechariah, gathers himself together, and finally reappears in the courtyard. And, of course, the worshipers are wondering, what caused this delay? What is wrong? And what is this blank stare on his face? And the man can't even speak. There the worshipers actually believe that he must have seen a vision. Verse 23 to 25 says that at the end of his service, Zechariah returns home to his village, and sure enough, he gets old Elizabeth pregnant. But while the doubting Zechariah cannot even speak about it, Elizabeth, after a five-month period of seclusion, probably as she waited for the appearance of one of our young folks that they call the baby bump, but now she is speaking enough for both of them. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people. Folks, at about this time, Zechariah's fellow priests and male friends are slapping him on the back and giving the time and the thumbs up for finally getting Elizabeth pregnant. And all their friends, like the angels say, are joyful. I believe, though, that Elizabeth must have been a sight for sore eyes. For there's nothing I can think of then or now, and I mean no disrespect, ladies, but nothing that would draw more personal attention, cause more sniggers and gossip and finger-pointing, and maybe even some ridicule from her so-called girlfriends, as would this not get old lady. But Elizabeth, she couldn't care less. She has joy written all over her face. She wails in this gestational glow, and no more does she feel disgraced and ashamed among the women in her village. Old or not, she is wonderfully pregnant and glorifies God, to whom she attributes this miracle. Praise his name forever. And yes, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, God is saying to some of us who think he has forgotten our condition, our feelings, and our prayers for deliverance, he is saying in the words of the songwriter Donnie Lawrence, the painful transitions and critical positions, for everything that you've been through, I am coming strong for you. I put you in a place to need a miracle so I could perform one. I made the way hard to see just so you would trust in me. Yes, I've closed every door, but now I'm going to let you soar. So raise your hands and be glad. I'm coming strong on your behalf. And yes, Elizabeth, sing your song and do your dance. I'm coming strong on your behalf. Praise the Lord. You know, indeed, all these things come to pass. Every promise made by the angel Gabriel, and on the day that the son is born, Zechariah is finally able to speak. Audience, let us face it. As Christians, we must be careful to avoid harboring an attitude of unbelief. Here we see Zechariah as did Nicodemus in John chapter 3, two good, righteous, godly men, both exhibiting disbelief, a lack of faith and sensitivity to the words of God. My question, therefore, for you, my friends, is, will you be receptive to what God would say to you today? Remember that it is not your religious qualification that matters, but your hearts that really, really counts. And that as disciples, we need to cultivate faith and belief if we spiritually seek God's favor. How can I nurture an attitude of faith or belief, of spiritual sensitivity and openness to God, you may ask? In Psalm 51, David does it with humility, with repentance, and with prayers. He asks God to create in him a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within him. Let me offer you a suggestion, church. We need to read and study the Word of God faithfully, asking him to reveal more of himself to us. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10, comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. Fortunately for Zechariah, God does not leave him in this grace forever. But I imagine that 9 months seem like an eternity to him. Now all this is indeed an intriguing story as we recount the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, forerunner of Jesus the Christ. John's birth is of vital importance to God's plan of salvation. So important that the message is delivered in the temple itself. But make no mistake about it. Or as the youth of today would say, don't get it twisted. He is not the Messiah. He is only the forerunner. His mission was to foretell the coming of Jesus Christ. His words, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, breaks a 400-year silence of God speaking directly to his people Israel. John was, in fact, the link between the Hebrew prophecies of the Old Testament and the Christian gospel of the New. So finally, the fullness of time has come. Bring the long-awaited Messiah to earth. And so John came out of the wilderness proclaiming the coming of the promised one, Jesus, the vessel that God had prepared to reclaim mankind, his greatest creation, unto himself. So while John declares that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, he promulgates, there comes one after me, the sandals of whom I am not worthy to unfasten. What John is saying, saints, is the best is yet to come. And yes, the best is yet to come. For it had only been 6 months after John's birth that heralded by the same angel Gabriel, proclaimed by a choir of angels, worshipped in the field by shepherds, sought after and presented with royal gifts by wise men of the East, welcomed by the elder Simeon as the Messiah and God's salvation, witnessed as the Redeemer by Anna the prophetess, hounded by the bloodthirsty herald of Judea, our beloved Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, all man and yet all God, was ushered onto the scene. He was born in particularly humble settings, was raised as a lowly carpenter's son, but he always was above his heavenly father's business. Of his upbringing, Luke 2:52 says that he daily increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. John the Baptist had preached repentance and baptized converts in the River Jordan, that is, with water. But he, John, proclaimed that this one following him by contrast, Holy Ghost, and with fire. Again, in other words, the death is yet to come. And yes, I'm so glad that one day the best God had to offer came to us at last. And even as a youngster, there were signs that he was just not an ordinary child. For early in his life, he began to exhibit superior knowledge and maturity to establish himself as an example of responsibility to his heavenly father's business and the cornerstone of Christianity as we know it today. He grew up to be a full man of about 30 years old among us, and then, when in a final preparation for his earthly mission, we see of his baptism by that same John the Baptist, an occasion so profound that all members of the Holy Trinity converge on the scene. For we see Jesus coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, and the unmistakable voice of the great I Am speaks as the heavens open to confirm this once-in-a-lifetime event. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. My friends, the best is yet to come. For Jesus then occupies the same stage as did John the Baptist, as he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, but did not lose his cool nor his faith. But the Holy Bible speaks about three distinct times, even at the most, his most vulnerable moments, that he spurned certain temptations and emerged from the wilderness of more than a conqueror. Get thee behind me, Satan. He was to choose his disciples, men of all walks of life, with no great fanfare, no application process, no screenings, no interview, simply by saying to each one of them, follow me. He taught and mentored them as he daily preached the word of his Father. Oh, how I wish I could have been there for those whom he met, those whom he sought, and who sought him, recognized that surely this was indeed the Son of God. And so miracle after miracle he performed. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, the blind to see. He restored withered limbs and lepers back to health and to society. He forecast the biggest fish catch ever witnessed in that day when he uttered these words, cast your net on the other side. He turned water into wine. On more than one occasion, he fed thousands with nearly nothing. He walked on water. He said to the storm, peace, be still, and it readily obeyed him. He comforted the bereaved. He cared for the poor and the outcast. He cast out evil spirits, and he even raised the dead. When Jesus taught, it was the best of teaching, not like other teachers who quoted from other rabbis. Jesus astonished his listeners as he spoke with authority. My friends, on a daily basis, men have pondered this question, what manner of man is this that even their elements obey him? See an experience here, as in Christ's own words in Matthew 5:17, that he came not to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill it through his grace and his truth. So whereas the law condemns, his grace pardons. Where the law exposes sin, his grace covers it. Where the law diagnoses our illnesses, his grace cures them. The law seems to gag you like a demanding teacher. Grace liberates us and provides us with an indwelling teacher, that of the Holy Spirit. These things are so, my friends, because whereas the law was given by Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ himself, according to John 1:17. Friends, there's a little chorus that we sang back home in my country, Barbados, and it went something like this. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. He is a mighty healer. He cleansed the leper. When the people saw him, they started a walking. Wherever he went, my Lord, he was doing good. My friend, stop by on my way to heaven to tell you that for you and me, still the best is yet to come. For one weekend, 3 years into his teaching ministry, Jesus humbled himself to the will of his Father, subjected himself to a kangaroo court, submitted to be scourged, whipped worse than any slave or sled dog, was spat upon, laughed at, jeered, forced to painfully and mockingly wear a crown of thorns, while simultaneously dragging a heavy wooden cross uphill to a place called Golgotha. Time he lost not only every friend and companion he possessed in this world, lest they should suffer the same fate. But even God, his Father, forsook him, as he bore the ugliness of the sins of this world, including yours and mine. And on that same Friday, he had both hands and feet cruelly pierced with spikes, was nailed and hung on that same rugged cross and crucified betwixt and between two convicts of the worst account, willingly giving his life for you and for me. Oh, look how they done, my Lord. You know, earlier we discussed how Hebrew priests made intercession for the people. In Matthew 27:50-51 teaches us that at the moment Christ the Lamb, the earth quaked, rocks were split, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, giving each of us the privilege to approach God in prayer for our own sins to his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. The greatest irony of all is that mankind still will not take time out to prayer. But I tell you, friends, it didn't stop there. For the Holy Bible tells us that he was buried on that came Friday evening in a borrowed tomb that was sealed with a stone and guarded by Roman soldiers, and that he remained there all Friday night and all Saturday, all Saturday night, my friend. The thanks the best is yet to come, for early Sunday morning he got up possession of the keys of hell and death, and with all power in his hands, oh death, where is that thing? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Thanks, I'm so very glad that he got up. He got right up out of that lowly grave, and now he sits triumphantly high and majestic on the right hand of God, his Father in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. Bless his name today. As I hasten to close, let me add that during his days on earth, he made certain promises to us, and that I am always acutely aware of these particular three. One, that he was going to prepare a place for me. Two, that he would bring me the comfort of that of the Holy Spirit. And three, to return one day and receive us unto himself. Once I'm here, just hold on, my brother, don't give up. Hold on, my sister, just look up. There's a master plan in store for you if you just but make it true. My friends, in my heart there rings the melody of another song that says, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and thus proclaim, my God, how great thou art. My friends, I don't know about your individual intention, but I just want you to know that I intend to see Jesus one day. Yes, saints, I have come too far to turn back now. I'm not going to let anyone or anything turn me around. I'll continue to fight the good fight with all my might. I'm prepared to say to the mountain, mountain, get off my way, because I want to see him. I want to see my Jesus face to face in all his glory, to walk with him, to talk with him, to hear him say the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world, and to be forever with him in glory. For thanks, my Bible makes it abundantly clear that the best is yet to come. May God bless you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace, is my prayer. At this time, we'd like to invite our listening audience, especially those of us who don't know Christ as our indwelling Savior, and even those who have backslid, there's still such a thing, all who cannot claim a personal relationship with him, to join us right now as we pray the prayer of faith. Eternal Father, I humbly beseech you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge our sinfulness. I believe through faith that you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. I confess now with my mouth my sins and ask that you pardon me of my transgressions. Wash me in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness and usher me into your fold. Therefore, through and by these utterances, I know I am saved. If you have just received Christ or have recommitted to him and don't have a church home, and I urge you to join some church. Join a church in your neighborhood. Attend Sunday school and Bible study so you can grow in the word and mature as a Christian. Join some ministry and begin to work for the Lord. For Christ, he's coming again, you know. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God bless each of you within the reach of my voice. Thank you for your time and your attention. I now hand this program back into the hands of my very capable host.
God bless you too, Minister Desmond Small. That was a wonderful message on the best is yet to come. I would like to open up the line to have, does anyone have any comments? If so, can you please press 1 and I will open up the line for you if anyone has any comments at this time. Amen. Amen. Minister Small?
Yes?
The word was awesome tonight, like always. And we do have to watch what we pray for, because God's will is listening to us. And we definitely have to have belief and faith. And we definitely have to have a pure heart. So that was an awesome, awesome message for this evening.
God bless you, ma'am.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Now, I just want to make an announcement for the Kingdom Builders International. It's having a conference on April the 24th through the 25th and the 26th, 2013, and that's the Intercessory Conference, April 24th, 25th, 26th, 2013, in the Detroit, Michigan area. So if you're interested, please email KingdomDaughters1, the number one, at yahoo.com, or you can dial in. The number is, I have to get you the number later on. But please, if you're interested, please dial in. I mean, please email KingdomDaughters1 at yahoo.com. I just want to say thank you so much for our listeners. Thank you so much for the Internet listeners and also the callers that call in this evening. I'm going to go ahead and pray. We just thank you, Father God, for Mr. Small, for bringing the message tonight, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for the man of God, Father God, that went ahead and touched everybody's heart, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the salvation. We thank you, Father God, for him taking the time out, Father God, his busy schedule, Father God, to present your word to us, Father God, doing all that you say to us, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for allowing us, Father God, to even listen to him for 45 minutes to an hour, Father God, tonight, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, for the word that went through. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and play some music right now at this time. Thank you. And then you can make a comment. And when we get back, then you can go ahead and make your comments, okay?
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on his promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
Desmond?
Hello?
Yes, before we close out, is there any comments or anything that you would like to make?
No, I just would like to again wish everyone a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a very happy 2014.
Okay. Thank you so much. We just thank you for all the listeners once again that came on the Internet and the ones that called in to listen to Minister Small this evening. We appreciate everyone's time. We just thank you for calling in. We thank you for Prophet Teresa, who made this possible for us. And we thank you for Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders International to make this possible for everyone to even listen on the line and also Internet. We just thank you so much. I pray that everyone have a very happy holiday, and I pray that everyone have a blessed and successful new year in 2014. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.
Good night. Good night.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our children and youth right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our children and youth, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the school systems, God. We plead the blood right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit that will put a spotlight on the world and make it appear more beautiful and dazzling than it really is. We decree and declare tonight that this spirit has been bound and rendered weak and powerless in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that the generation that is being birthed will be those that are thirst and hunger after the things of God in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you will raise up young intercessors, Father God, that you will raise up young prayer warriors, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will release them in the middle schools, God, that you will release them in the elementary schools, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that your anointing, Father God, will be upon our youth, Father God, even as early as 5 years old, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that that prophetic grace will be upon them even at five, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that you will release them in the high schools, God, and the colleges, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will release your anointing, Father God, into the technical colleges, God. Let them begin to rise up, Father God. Let them begin to rise up and tell people about you, God. Let them begin to rise up, Father God. Let them begin to rise up in training and education, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would anoint the young people to begin to represent you in the marketplace, God. That will begin to represent you in Hollywood. That will begin to represent you, God, in the political arenas, in the professional athlete arenas. We pray in the name of Jesus that industries of influence, Father God, in the lives of our young people, Father God, we break and destroy everything that will come against our youth in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of murder. We bind all premature death. We bind all sickness and infirmity. We come against you now in the name of Jesus. We command you to get your hands off of our youth in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of the fatherless generation. Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that the spirit of the Father is being released into the nations, God. Let fathers arise, God. Let fathers arise, God. Let mothers arise and be parents to their children in the name of Jesus, God. We bind and we destroy every spirit of abortion. We come against spirits of abortion in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would deal with the powers concerning the innocent blood shed in the land in the name of Jesus. Let every snare, every wicked plan, every evil device that set a word for salvation and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the anointing, your anointing that destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. Father God, I decree and declare that let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be established in every community, city, and state. I lift up every intercessor, every watchman, every seer, every battle axe, every spiritual legislator of the Lord, and prayer warriors who stand in between the porch and the altar. Lord, I thank you for the gates of righteousness. I cover them with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Anoint your people to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I agree with heaven that the people of God have power over the all power of the enemy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for keen discernment, Father God, that will come upon every intercessor in the name of Jesus, God. Let every hidden snare of the enemy, Father God, against your church be exposed. I bind up every assignment of every bloodthirsty man in the name of Jesus. We bind and break all spirits of witchcraft and backlash and revenge and retaliation on those who have given their lives to stand in the gap in the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart of the enemy against the anointed one has boomeranged in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over spirits of heaviness and confusion and spirits of despondency in the name of Jesus that will cause the intercessors not to be alert and not to be on the wall in the name of Jesus. We pray against every distraction. We come against all frustration assigned to make intercessors get off the wall. We say in the name of Jesus, they shall be on the wall and they shall intercede and pray. What thus said the Lord in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare tonight that we are spiritual legislators, that we will speak what thus said the Lord. We break and destroy the power that will come against prayers. I thank you for intercessors who abide under the covering of a spiritual authority in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that there will be no long ranger spirits. We break spirits of rebellion, monotony, cliques, false prophetic unction in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare spirits of unity, cohesiveness among the intercessors in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that they will run with the vision of their leader, Father God, that you will give them prophetic insight right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that they will live upright and holy in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they will make up a hedge and build walls around the body of Christ. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that they are rising from their slumber, God, that they are rising from their sleep in the name of Jesus. Oh, intercessor, where art thou? I command you to arise and take your place in the earth in the name of Jesus. Arise and take your gate in the cities. Arise and take your place in the name of Jesus. Intercessor, I shake you from your slumber. I command you to rise up and begin to decree a thing, and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. Let every intercessor, God, let every intercessor under the sound of my voice, God, let them be a student of the word, God. Let us study to show ourselves approved in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, we yield unto you, Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will re-baptize us, God. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Give us new tongues, God. Give us new discernment, God. Let that spirit of discernment be upon us, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Discernment, God. Let it be upon us, God. Let us begin to see things, God, even before they manifest, God. Let us begin to be able to prophesy, Father God, what will be on the morning paper, God. In the name of Jesus. Intercessors arise and take your place. Spiritual legislators arise. Watchmen arise. Get on your post in the name of Jesus. There's a need for you. Begin to arise and take dominion. Walk in authority in the name of Jesus.
Well, again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to our last hour broadcast. We are now at the top of the hour, and we will be continuing on. And we want to thank everyone for staying in, tuning in with us tonight. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I am so excited about how God is moving in the lives of his people. We're going to be bringing forth entering into the glory. And we also are going to be talking about religion versus relationship. you know, there's a big difference between religion and relationship. And when you have a relationship with the Father, it comes from being in his presence. Relationships are developed from communication when you're talking to the Father. So we just thank you for just staying on. We certainly were blessed with Minister Desmond Small, and we pray that you were encouraged in the Lord. He will be with us every second Saturday of the month. Join in, and you'll be able to hear Minister Desmond Small. We have a great lineup for you on this upcoming year, 2014. So we want to encourage you to get ready, get excited, get prepared, get planned, get your plans in order for what God have for you to do. Yes, there's something that the Lord have in store for you. So we want you to embrace it. Yes, this is Prophetess Teresa from Kingdom Builders International. We want to thank Sister Audrey Milton for hosting the broadcast with Minister Desmond Smalls. We're going to play just one more song, and after the song, the next voice that you will hear will be our own Beverly Dr. Reverend Hare. She's going to be talking about religion versus relationship. And you be the judge. You decide, are you in religion or are you in relationship? Yes, our Redeemer lives. Know that he rescued your soul. You have to know that your Redeemer lives. He's not a dead God. He's alive and he's well. Well, we're going to go forth with religion versus relationship.
Talk Shield. Recorded live.
Hello. My name is Reverend Dr. Beverly Hare, and I would like to acknowledge Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders. Our Bible lesson for today will be coming from Romans 12 and 2, and the title of our Bible study is Religion versus Relationship. I've been changed. Lord God, I pause just to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for being such an awesome, almighty God. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for me to decrease and for you to increase. Hide me behind the cross, Lord God, and use me, Lord, as a vessel to teach a word from you. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Our scripture lessons, Romans 12 and 2, will be coming from the Amplified Version. Do not be transformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. I have a couple of questions I want you to ponder as we get into this lesson. Firstly, when you think of the word religion or see the word religion, what comes to your mind? And the word relationship, what comes to your mind when you see those words? It has been said, the number one cause of atheism is Christians. Those who proclaim God with their mouths and deny him with their lifestyle is what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable. Christianity Today, 2001. Religion is ceremonial observation. Religion is man's or woman's attempt to reach God, an organized system of doctrine with an approved pattern of behavior and a proper form of worship, the lay ministries. At this point, we must make a distinction. The distinction is between those who truly desire a relationship with God and with his people, and those who are just part of the system, putting on the facade of Christianity. There are those who follow Jesus and choose not to get caught up in the religious system. Michael Davis. Religion is a series of man-made procedures that satisfy the heart into thinking that growth is really taking place. Religion is an opportunity to stifle the Holy Spirit into nothing more than a dance or a palm raised in the air because it's what others do around you. Religion will leave you asking questions, wishing you could change things, and will leave you very unfulfilled. The Pharisees had biblical knowledge, thus having a biblical religion, but they rejected the very one that their religion was centered around, Jesus the Christ. Religion's main focus is on the things others can see and totally leaves out the fact that God can see everything about them. Luke 1:39-40, and again I will be reading from the New Living Translation. You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, you are still filthy, full of greed and wickedness. Fools! Didn't God make the inside as well as the outside? Did you catch that? They are concerned about how they look on the outside. In other words, is my hair just right? I'm clean shaved and I know I look good. What about my suit? Does my tie match my suit? Do I have a run in my stockings? You know, how do I look on the outside? Not at all considering what's going on the inside. Religious people worry about what others may think, and they want to be perfect. Luke 11:42-43. But how terrible it will be for you Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income. But you completely forget about justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. How terrible it will be for you, Pharisees, for how you love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the respectful greetings from everyone as you walk through the market. Let me pause for a moment and have you turn to Luke 10:30-36. The parable of the Good Samaritan, it gives us an excellent example of the more important things. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead and beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked down at the man lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Coming over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? That's the question Jesus asked, and I'm asking you, is this a religious person that passed on the other side, or the man that stopped, was he a person that had a personal relationship and understood the compassion of God? Think about that. Religious folk work at finding loopholes in the regulations in order to avoid obeying them. Luke 11:46, "Yes," said Jesus, "how terrible it will be for you, experts in religious law, for you crush people beneath impossible religious demands, and you never lift a finger to help ease the burden." There are a lot of religions in the world that has nothing at all to do with God. There are a lot of people with religions that will never take them to heaven. That's a quote by John Carver, which I thought was quite interesting. So let's look at relationship. Relationship is fellowship and partnership. Relationship is God's plan of redemption for men and for women. Relationship, it's a heart thing. As we receive God's gift, the Lord Jesus, into our hearts, we change. We are washed in the blood of Jesus and are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Having a personal relationship, fellowship and partnership with God, means that there are no secrets between us, no secrets between us and God. Having this kind of a relationship with God produces a clean spirit and a clean life. Luke 12:1 says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "The time is coming when everything will be revealed. All that is secret will be made public. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, And whatever you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. An honest relationship with God avoids trying to keep secrets. Relationship with God means that you and God are in communion with each other. You're communicating with each other. This kind of communion and communication allows us to draw closer to God, and God, in turn, draws closer to us. Prayer is communication with God, and the means by which we develop a personal relationship with Him. God is a loving God and will not force Himself upon us. The more we open our lives to Him, casting our cares on God, the more He will do in our lives. However, we need to examine why we are doing what we do. In other words, check your motives. Are you doing something for God just to get recognition or to have the highest seat of honor? Or are you involved in ministry for God to do something to you, to draw you closer into unity and to fellowship with Him, for God to smooth out the rough edges of insecurities so you can operate more confidently in the gifts, the empowerment that He has placed within you? You decide. Now check your motives. There is an old song my grandmother and my mother used to sing. And when I was younger, I didn't understand why they got so caught up in that song. Today I understand. In the garden, the words of the first verse and chorus says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Now that's what I call real communication. A personal relationship with God can bring us peace because we know that God's protection is always with us. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. God takes care of the sparrows. Will He not take care of you and me? Are you not worth more than the sparrows? Peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. For those who are religious, they cannot understand the kind of peace you receive when you are in relationship with God. Because God can help you to live above and beyond your circumstances. In this kind of a relationship with God, you begin to understand more clearly Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. Therefore, the enemy can't trick us into believing that God is not with us. In a relationship with God, we know that we know that we know that He promised never to leave or forsake us. We will walk like Joseph. Rather, we are in the penthouse, or the palace. We are always in communion with the Father, and He is with us, working it out for our good and for His glory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. A personal relationship with God will help you find ways to change things, solutions to problems, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. A personal relationship with God encourages growth as you learn more about Him and strive to emulate Him, not the world's standards, but God's standards. A personal relationship with God encourages growth as you learn more and more and more about Him. A personal relationship with God helps you understand the Holy Spirit is power. Power that Jesus used to cast out demons, heal people, and defeat death. Amazingly, that very relationship.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the the center and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life.
And when we begin to tell Jesus to be the center of our life, that's when our relationship with God is enhanced. From religion to relationship, nothing else matters, and nothing in this world will do besides that relationship with the Father. That's when He's the center of it all, and we want everything to be revolving around Him. And when we ask of Him to do it, He will do it.
Yes, it's all about you.
And you can get your praise on in the middle of the day. You don't have to be at church. You don't have to even be in the presence of anyone. Just all of a sudden, you just start worshiping and praising Him, and your relationship with God become more intimate, and He'll keep you in His court. So we're going to play an excerpt of Keep Me in Your Glory by Pastor Celeste Morphis. She's going to be talking about the glory within.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I'd just like to thank you, amen, for joining Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders Prophetic Conference. Amen. This is Pastor Celeste Morphis. Amen. I'm going to be doing a teaching, amen, on the glory within. And I'm also going to be speaking on entering into the glory. Amen. So I pray that you be blessed with the word of God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, Father, for your word that shall go forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, you are glorified, you are magnified in your truth, O God, and every ear and eyes of understanding is being flooded with light that might hear your truth, Father. And, Father, we just speak of your goodness and your glory that shall be manifested through your word, O God, through truth and through the Holy Ghost. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that ears are hearing your word. Ears are coming alive, Father. I thank you, Lord, that ears are popping open, Father, in the name of Jesus. And your glorious light is shining forth in our hearts, Father. Oh, glory to God. It's flowing in our hearts right now, Father. We might understand that glory is within us, Father. Hallelujah. And that you release the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you, and we just give you praise, and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I forestated, I'm going to be talking. This is Class 101. I'm going to be talking about the glory within us. Amen. Glory to God, because as we understand the glory of God that is within us, amen, then we can know how to enter into the glory of God, entering into a realm, amen, of God's glory. Amen. The glory of the Lord is manifested in a realm. When you come to a certain place in God, amen, it's a higher place than the natural plane. It's a higher glory. It's a higher joyous place in God that on the natural plane you cannot come to, but you have to get on a spiritual plane. Amen. Hallelujah. And so first we must talk about what God has done in Christ Jesus. Amen. He has delivered us and set us free, and that God was raising Jesus Christ from the dead to his glory, and now in resurrection power and resurrection life, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And so glory to God, and those who believe, amen, in the Son of God, amen, can be born again, amen, could be set free and delivered from the power of the enemy, from the power of darkness. Now, until a man is born again, he cannot know the things of God. He cannot see the kingdom, amen. He cannot even understand it. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14 talks about a natural man cannot receive the things of God, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. Glory to God. So he has to connect with the spirit of God and understand things that are spirit. Amen. Romans 8:18 talks about flesh cannot please God because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. It is not subject to God, nor can it be, because flesh cannot please God. So we're talking about something that must happen in the spirit first. You must be born again. Hallelujah. And so because man is made up of a trichotomy, and that I mean he is made up of spirit, soul, and body, he is a spirit. He possesses a soul and lives in a body. And so I say to you that you are spirit. The real you is spirit. Your real DNA is spirit. The real person or the real you is spirit. Amen. And we lost touch of that because of when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Amen. And so we are spirit. We live in a body. We possess a soul. Amen. And so in our flesh, we cannot please God. We cannot do the things of God. We cannot know the things of God except a man be born again. Amen. And so we want to tap into the spirit of man. We want to tap into our spirit so that we can begin to push out of us the things that God has delivered unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when Jesus died on the cross, amen, glory to God, he said in Ephesians 1 and 3 that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings are yours, and that means all of them. Amen. A-L-L. That means all of the spiritual blessings, everything in the heavens, everything that you need in life, everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours. Glory to God. You even have the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. And you hear people say, I don't have no love. I don't have no long-suffering. I can't wait. But guess what? If you tap into the spirit realm, it is all there. Glory to God. So everything you need, amen, glory to God, it is already given unto you by God in the spirit. And because you are spirit, amen, then you just need to tap into the things of the spirit. And what is locked up in your spirit cannot be revealed because of the carnal mind, because of the natural state of man, amen, because we are ruled by our natural mind when we're not born again or walking in the spirit, amen. Sometimes you'll never know what God has given you until you tap into that which is in the spirit. Now keep in mind, what is spirit, amen. What is God? God is spirit. And so that which is spirit, and so we cannot walk in the spirit or please God until we tap into our spirits, amen. And so I say to you that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, amen. He gave us everything that we need in these earthen treasures, in this vessel, in this body. He gave us everything you will ever need in life to come to the place in God that you need to come to, amen. No matter what obstacles, no matter what come your way, no matter what wind blows, amen, God has placed in you something that will destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. And even that carnal mind. So what we really have to deal with, we have to deal with our minds, first of all, because it is an enemy to you tapping into your spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Because if you feed your spirit, amen, then guess what? Your spirit begins to live, and then your flesh begins to lay prostrate before God and bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It bows the knee. Why? Because what is spirit is glorious. What is spirit is powerful. What is spirit is anointing, and the anointing destroys the yoke. And so the more that we tap into our spirits, amen, the glory of the Lord is being revealed, and what's in you, amen, is going to begin to come out. Hallelujah. You are really on a prophetic journey, amen. You're encountering certain things in every part of your journey, amen. God said, but it got you, because whatever happens to you in Romans, it talks about in the 8th chapter, amen, you are predestined, amen. You are predestined to come to this place in God, hallelujah. And you are more than a conqueror, glory to God. So it doesn't matter about the obstacle, but the fact that you're on a prophetic journey and you are keep moving in the spirit. So feeding your spirit, amen, is very essential because it's going to crush the works of the enemy. It's going to crush every attack of the enemy, because living in that place, amen, and you flowing, glory to God, rivers of living water is going to begin to flow out of you. Hallelujah. And so, glory to God, as you encounter everything, obstacles on this journey, and so you're pregnant with the things of God that's placed in your spirit, amen, and you pass through it just like having a baby. Hallelujah. And glory to God, and you keep flowing in the things of God, and you keep feeding yourself with the word of God. You keep feeding yourself with truth, and you keep staying in the presence of God, soaking, amen, and being marinated in the presence of God, and it's not a Mickey Mouse decision, but it's going to have to be a quality decision, because it's something that you want to happen. You want what's in you to come out. And so, you know, it's like having a baby, because once the baby is in position and you're feeding, care of that baby, even though that baby is in your belly, glory to God, you keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, amen, and feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. And then once it's time for delivery, that baby positions itself and moves into the birth canal. And then once it moves there, amen, the birth canal, it allows what's in you to pass from inside out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so passing out of what God placed in you, getting it to move out. Hallelujah. What's in you? So God placed something in your spirit. Glory to God. That just needs to get out. Hallelujah. Amen. But you would never recognize it and never know this. Amen. If you don't tap into your spirit. So you cannot be led by your mind. You cannot be led by human intellect. You cannot be led by the things of this world. You cannot allow the things that you see, feel, and hear to affect the word of God and what is really true, because I said in the beginning that you are spirit. Hallelujah. And that being led by that spirit, amen, is going to take you into many great places. Hallelujah. And it is a Father's great pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And so he come not to harm you, but to do you good. He comes to give you an expected end. Glory to God. And so what we are expecting, something to happen, something to manifest, to God be the glory. Amen. He is the Father of life. He said, I'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light into your path. So you don't have to walk this journey by yourself. Hallelujah. I'll be with you always, even to the end of this world. And because I love you so much, I'm going to seat you in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So your mind becomes an enemy, your natural mind, that is, becomes an enemy to the things of God, from stopping the birthing and stopping the spirit part of you from leading, being ruled by the Spirit of God, because he said the peace of God shall rule your heart. And when your spirit is led by God, amen, you begin to flow into the things of God. And now you can't really pay attention to, because see, when we have for so long listened to the traditions of man and been affected by our environment and been affected by untruth and a lie, then, you know, it has to be purged out. And so in soaking in the presence of God and living in the presence of God caused it to be purged out, because it is no way that you can live in the presence of the Father, amen, and not be affected by what is happening in the spirit. Hallelujah. The spirit part of you. So as that spirit man that begins to burst, break forth and burst out, amen, he said in the beginning in John 4, he said that, you know, I'll be in you a well. And a well is going to spring up to everlasting life. And so that's what God's going to do in you. Glory to God. He's going to do something in you, John 4 and 24. But then in John 7 and 38, he said, guess what? Now that I have been a well in you, I'm going to turn around and become a river. Glory to God. Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now something is taking place in your spirit. It is the glory of God that has to manifest, because everything that God purposed in you, everything that God created in you is to the glory of God. It's to glory, the glory of the Father, amen, the Father of life, hallelujah, to give unto you revelation, knowledge, and understanding. He said, I pray, in Ephesians prayer, the first chapter said, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened and flooded with light, and that you might know what the hope of your calling is and what the hope of glory in the riches of God. So the glory of God has to be revealed. It has to be manifested. What God placed in you, he didn't just place it there. He wants to manifest himself. He wants to show himself strong in the earth. He wants the end time. Hallelujah. He said the latter rain shall be greater than the former. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. So something God wants to happen prophetically in the end time. He wants something to happen in you that's going to break forth. Glory to God. Your light has to break forth. He said, because you have to rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord will appear. It will shine upon you. Glory to God. So, amen. And speaking of your spirit, it has to be quickened from the dead. Glory to God. You have to be born again. You have to believe God, because it is the Spirit of God that quickens you. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, and the flesh don't profit you anything. So this is a spiritual matter. This is something that must take place in the spirit. When you are awakened to God, your human spirit has no life on its own. All life, God is the source of all life, glory to God. So the life that he's quickening your spirit. Wake up, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, and wake up and come unto the things of God. And so when we wake up, glory to God, it's on, because our light is shining. Now, we're on a path, and we're on a journey, and we're walking. And now he said, guess what? Wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, I will give you the land. I will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah, because you're on a prophetic journey. You are on a prophetic journey with God. And so now allowing the well and the river to break forth. You allow, it's a constant supply of God's endless life flowing in you. Hallelujah. He's unlocking your spirit, and now all things he's freely given unto you. Glory to God. What a power, what a blessing when your spirit, hallelujah, when you tap into what is in your spirit, and if you begin to even know, hallelujah, what God has placed in you, amen, it's a glorious thing. It's a power, glory to God, to allow the glory of God, hallelujah, that is within you now to come out, hallelujah. Now you come into the place you have the glory within, it has to come out of you. Amen, because you have to enter into the glory of God, because it is Christ in you who is the hope of glory. You have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and as what's in heaven has to become to the earth, because now he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're tapping into what's in heaven so that we can get it to manifest in earth. That's your assignment, amen, to birth out what God has placed in you. Hallelujah. So in these earthen treasures, amen, there is a glorious part of God, amen, that needs to break forth, hallelujah, as the noonday is going to break forth. And guess what? Everything that's not God is going to break, is going to shatter everything that's not God into pieces, hallelujah. And you know, these things come to defy the army of God. But hallelujah, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we are more than conquerors. So you must understand this before you're able to manifest the glory of God, before you're able to manifest the mighty works of God, and before it is ever revealed, amen, you must understand what he placed in you. He placed in you the kingdom. He placed in you the fruit of the Spirit. He placed in you the love. He placed in you the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, the wonderful acts. He wants you to say, hallelujah, according to Psalms 145, I'm going to declare, this generation shall declare the works of the Lord and the glory of God. Because just as we look at the birds in the air, and we look at the trees, and we look at the green grass, and we look at things, and hallelujah, and we say, look at God's handiwork. Amen. But I want to say to you, amen, to look at yourself. Look at the God in you. Look at the Christ in you. Look at the glory of God. You are God's workmanship, created after his image. Hallelujah. And so to be able to tap into and see who you are, amen, hallelujah, in God, then that makes you, hallelujah, begin to rest in what God has done. Now, you're not going to trust in your own flesh and in your own mind and what you can do, but you're going to trust in, woo, look at the finished work of God. He, not only did he die, but he rose from the grave. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. To God be the glory. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he's sitting above every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness, every spiritual wickedness, amen, in high places. God has placed you above it, amen. So you must get that in your spirit so that you begin to flow and walk in the things of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Walking in the things of God and understanding what God has done in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for what he has done in our spirit. Amen. He's going to cause you to be planted like a tree, and you're going to bring forth fruit in the right season, because God has done a new thing in you, and it's going to spring forth. Hallelujah. And you're going to know it. You're going to know that it's God. It's going to make no mistake. Men are not going to make a mistake about it, because they're going to say, he had made a way in the wilderness and even rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. God has caused you to come be above and not beneath. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because, see, it is God's greatness. It is God's grace. It is his goodness that he have given us these things that we can all just begin to flow in the things that God have given us, amen, to just flow in the miracle-working power of God, to just understand, first of all, that it is not me, it's no longer I, but it is the Christ in us, amen, as the body of Christ. God has purposed something in you, and you know he's a great investor, amen. What he planted and what he predestined that we will be adopted as a children of God, amen. It's his good will and it's his good pleasure. It's his blood, glory to God. It's his riches, it's his grace. It's Christ altogether, glory to God, that God has given us these things. And so we must go after them as God has given us these things. Amen. That it is God who done it. He gave us the Holy Spirit, a promise, hallelujah, and sealed us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's in you because you believe God. It's in you because he saved your spirit long before your mind even caught up and could grasp what God has done in the spirit. And that's why even before you was in your mother womb, God could begin to say, I save you. Even before the foundations of the world, I delivered you. Because God already seen the end before the beginning. God already worked out his plan. Amen. He sitting back at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Amen. So I thank God that what he has done in our spirit will take us to places. Amen. In God. So I say to you and I submit to you to soak yourself in the presence of God. Soak yourself in worship. Soak yourself in praise. And most of all, spend time in the word of truth. Amen. Because see, after you hear the word of truth, amen, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and you are God's purchased possession. And so now, just like he made all creation, it's his handiwork, it's the works of God. It's the works of God. You created in his image now, and you're his workmanship, and God's going to begin to do something very powerful in you. He's going to let your eyes be enlightened and flooded with light and understanding come, and you will know the riches of the calling, and God's going to just begin to reveal to you the things, amen, and he calls you to sit, hallelujah, far above every principality, every power, and every might, hallelujah, every dominion, amen, and even every name that is named. So whatever has a name, glory to God, hallelujah, God has placed you above it, amen. It is under your feet because he had made you the head of all things. And you have to know that in your spirit there is just a power, an excellency in these earthen vessels that God has placed in you, amen, to do his good will and to perform his good will. And so you now you are his hands and you are his feet. Glory to God, you are his mouth. Peace, hallelujah, that God said, I'm going to manifest myself in the earth. So the Bible says the earth, amen, Haggai, the second chapter, he said the earth is filled with his glory, hallelujah. It is filled with the glory of God, the earth, and as the waters cover the sea, amen, so shall the glory of the Lord be revealed, amen. And so who's going to reveal this glory? Because it does you no good, amen, to know that something is in you and you can't tap into it and you can't release it and you don't have an understanding of how to get to it. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Amen. Because you can't be led by man. You can be led by men as they are led by God, but we are led by the Spirit. Amen. He said, to as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So, amen. So, allowing the Spirit to now begin to speak to you, the plans of God. Amen. To speak to you what God has for you. And every day gets brighter and brighter. Every day more glory is revealed because you're changed from glory to glory. Amen. So before entering to the glory of God, we must spend time with God, spend time with the life of Christ so this well could spring up in us. Hallelujah. It could spring up in us to the glory of God, into everlasting life. And then once we allow that well to get full, it's going to become a river. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And things going to begin to be broken because of the glory of God, because it's going to be revealed. Hallelujah. God's going to manifest himself as God. He's going to manifest himself as King. He's going to manifest himself as Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to come into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Come into his courts and then bless his mighty name. Hallelujah. And so the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. That's the bottom line. It's going to be revealed. And even in spite of situations in the earth and things that we have encountered, situations, I mean, sometimes we go through different things, but you know what? It's all going to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Because, see, the weight that in this present time that we feel cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And so I believe God, and even if you've been through shame and you've been through different things, amen, he said, I'm going to cause you to forget your shame. I'm going to cause you to forget it all. Hallelujah. Because the glory that's going to be revealed, amen, the latter rain, the latter glory of this house, amen, that God has spoken of, and he said it's going to fill the earth. Hallelujah. In you, these earthen vessels, God's going to cause something to come out of you that you never, ever seen before. Because whatever you are experiencing right now is good and it's glorious, but God said your eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the things that God had prepared or will reveal to those, amen, who love him. And so God's going to reveal something more to you, more and more and more. And in spite of what's going on in this earth and what you have encountered, you got to believe that there's something greater in you. There's something more powerful in your spirit that is ready to break forth and bust out, hallelujah, of you like a river. Glory to God. And so you're going to affect all those who are around you now. Not only are you being blessed, but now those who come in contact with you shall also be blessed. Isaiah 40:5 says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed on all flesh, and all they shall see it all together. And guess what? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. Because glory and honor is in his presence. Glory and honor and strength is in that place of where you come in the presence of God and you begin to soak. And the glory of the Lord is being revealed. It means it's going to be made known. It's going to be manifest. It's going to be shown. Glory to God. And men shall see it all together. Because guess what? It's going to spring up and this light's going to come forth. Glory to God. And God's going to cause us, amen, like Psalms 145 verse 11 said, we're going to speak of his glory. We're going to talk of his power. We're going to talk of his mighty works. And this generation shall see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad that we're able to see it. Hallelujah. And so as you lift your hands up and you thank God and you just touch your belly and say, God, there's something in me. There's a treasure. There's an earthen vessel according to the word of God. And I believe the word of God that this thing is coming forth and it's going to break forth, glory to God, like never before. It's going to touch life like never before. And I will complete my assignment in the earth in the name of Jesus. And so as we talk of his goodness and talk of the glory and bask in his presence and love his presence and love his ways and love everything about God, because you are being more and more consumed with the glory. And so your ways, guess what? They're falling off. And even your mind is being changed. It's being transformed by the renewing of the word. It's being renewed every day. And so now you're going to begin to decree what God has spoken over your life. You're no longer going to guess about it. You're no longer just going to say, oh, maybe he will, maybe he won't. You're going to know, and then you're going to begin to decree, hallelujah, that glory is still in this house right now. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3:35, it says the wise shall inherit the glory. The wise shall come to this glorious place in God. And so you must know that you are a carrier of God's glory. So your spirit has been already delivered. Amen. My mind got to catch up with what God is doing. So all the traditions and everything that I have been taught, that I'm nothing, I'm just a low person, and everything, God's ready to throw a bolt of lightning on me. Amen. Glory to God. I bask more in the grace of God. I bask more in the presence where the Holy Spirit is, where it can change my life. And I don't have to even concern myself with my past and what I have ever done. Glory to God, because God has saved my spirit now. Amen. My mind has to catch up. Amen. So that's a process. My soul, amen, my soul has to catch up. You are spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. So every part has to experience that salvation, amen, amen. Every part has to experience it. So what God has already done is in my spirit. And now I got to deal with my soul, and that's my mind, will, and emotion. So my mind has to be changed because my mind is saying, huh, what just happened? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, and the victory has already been won. It's already been won. According to 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, amen, it says that, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death and sin, it has no power. The only power it has is the law. Glory to God. So he says, Paul says, I thank God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have victory. Hallelujah. We have glory. We can rest and thank God and decree glory. Amen. We can decree that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and we arise and we shine, and we allow that glory to build up Zion, because he said when he build up Zion, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And guess what? The glory will never end. It endure forever, according to Psalms 104. It will be revealed. So he says, now that you know this, go ahead and rejoice in my work. Rejoice in what I have done, because the heaven is going to declare my glory. Even the firmament of my handiwork, God said, let everything that have breath praise him. So everything that he made is going to begin to come into alignment prophetically with what God has already said, even before the beginning, even before you were born. This is the book that God had written. You are living epistle. So God have already got to the end of the story. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows what's going to happen. Amen. So he's going to reveal it into us. So this is glory will fill our house. Amen. Glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. The glory is going to cover the earth, and even the people, God said, even though there's gross darkness in the people, it says, but the Lord shall rise upon, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen among you. Hallelujah. Have you believed the word? You ought to be shouting right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God has released this glory upon us. And when you experience glory, you also experience peace and joy. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the righteousness is the righteousness that God has released upon his people through the power of the Holy Ghost and what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. Then rivers of water can flow into your life. And I just like what God said. Amen. I like what he said in John 17. He said, the glory which I have given, that you have given me, Father, he said, guess what? I want to give it to them. And the reason why, that where I am, they might be also, so they can behold my glory. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the glory of the Lord is being revealed. Hallelujah. And lifting up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up your everlasting doors. And guess who's coming in? The King of Glory. If you lift up your heads, he shall come in, because he is the Lord, strong and mighty. He's strong and mighty in battle. Amen. So we are raised up into the newness of life, to the glory of God, to praise him, to worship him, to just bless his mighty name, because we are blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing, and God wants to pour us out because we are, amen, the blessing. He wants to pour us out, amen, that others might know, others might see him, others might understand him, because it is the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So glory to God. I just bless you and bless the people of God for even the ears that have opened up and heard the word of the Lord. Amen. Even graves. Amen. Dead things, Lord God, that was dead, Lord God, shall be dead no more. Glory to God. And I thank you, Lord God, the eyes of understanding is being just flooded with light. It's just being poured out in light. It's in revelation knowledge and even understanding. Glory to God. Even the glory of the Lord that shall appear, hallelujah, when God manifests himself unto you. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for every listener and, Father, and every person that have heard your word, your truth, and received it into their spirit, hallelujah, that they might live a victorious life, a conquering life in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of your glory and your might, O God. Father, I just thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name that we are sitting with you right now in heavenly places. Glory to God. We have dominion over every power, every might, and every dominion, and everything that is named. Hallelujah. Everything is under your feet and is under our feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we bless you and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. We'd just like to thank you, amen, for joining in at Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders Prophetic Conference. Amen. We talked about the glory within us, and we talked about entering to the glory. Amen. It's a place that is separated unto those who will consecrate themselves and live a life unto God. Amen. This place is not for everybody, because everybody is not going to deny themselves and come into the place. Everybody's not going to pay the price. Hallelujah. But you, hallelujah, but you have been chosen by God to come to this place of glory. Amen. We bless you, and we just thank you for listening. Amen. Class 101 Kingdom Daughter, Kingdom Builders Prophetic Conference. God bless you. And we love you, and have a good, blessed day. Amen.
Amen. Again, we want to thank you. And remember, have a wonderful, blessed evening. And we'll see you next Saturday, same place, same time. The best is yet to come. Good night.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best.
Is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote in provision.